Power Records presents...
Power Records Podcast, where the action comes alive. Proud member of the Fire & Water Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rob Kelly. With me, as always, is Chris Franklin. Hello, Chris.
By Crom!
Can you believe it has been 8 months since we've done a Power Records episode?
Wow, that's a stretch.
Yeah, time really got away from it. I was like, the last one we did was The Jaws of the Shark, which was in July of last year, so... We really let this one go. So apologies, everybody. We didn't mean for it to be that long. And it won't be that long before we do another one, because we have another one already planned. But but we're here. We're here to talk about, as Chris indicated, and as, of course, if any of you read from your show notes, we're here to talk about Conan the Barbarian, the awesome LP that Power Records put out featuring four Conan stories. Features a wonderful cover by Neil Adams and, I'm guessing, Dick Giordano of Conan with a broadsword on a horse causing all sorts of merriment. This is a really great record. Chris, did you have this one growing up, or was this a later purchase?
I do not own this one. So this is one I don't own, okay. And the cover of this one alone is just, I've never seen this one in the wild. So I remember seeing, I think Conan Records advertised, I think the one of the stories that was made into a book and record,
right.
Single. I remember seeing that advertised in the other Power Records, but I never saw these as a kid. So, yeah, this is this one passed me by, unfortunately.
Yeah, I didn't have this one as a kid either. I had the book and record set, which we'll get to when we get to that story. But, yeah, I never saw this record either. But, boy, it's beautiful. I mean, it's just that cover is so beautiful. So without further ado, what we're going to do, since there's four stories, we're going to do side one. Two stories together, and then Chris and I will come back and do some commentary, and then we'll do side two. So let's get going. Side one, which is the stories are The Jewel of the Ages and Shadow of the Stolen City. So everybody grab your broadsword, and a flagon of mead, and let's head off to Cimmeria.
Between the years when the oceans drank Atlantis, and the gleaming cities and the rise of the sons of Arias, there was an age undreamed of, when shining kingdoms lay spread across the world like blue mantles beneath the stars. Hither came Conan the Cimmerian, black-haired, sullen-eyed, sword in hand, to tread the jeweled thrones of the earth under his sandaled feet. The journey through the bitter Northlands has been long, arduous, but a certain grim-visaged Cimmerian has grown accustomed to hardship. Head nodding, almost asleep in the saddle, Conan rides through the desolate wastes, the chill wind moaning past his ear.
Uh-huh. I must be more tired than I thought. For an instant, I'd have sworn I heard the wind calling my name. Devils. Then I wasn't dreaming. Something in the wind did call my name. Something summons me. And it is a summons too intriguing to ignore.
Across the angry wastes, the young Cimmerian gallops, the beckoning wind song growing ever louder until...
Their horse. The moaning seems to come from that cavern. Wait here, old Hardspur. This cavern is blacker than a moneylender's heart. I cannot see even my sword outstretched before me. It's as if...
Welcome, Conan of Cimmeria. Come you closer and stand before my bubbling cauldron.
Who are you, stander in shadows, that you know my name?
I am Priscilla. and there is little I do not know about you, my friend. Look into my cauldron, into the swirling mists of change, and know I speak the truth.
By the eyes of Ishtar, images form. Images I recognize.
Look closely, Conan, and behold a babe born on a Cimmerian battlefield less than 20 winters past. A child able to lift a sword almost before he was able to walk. A youth who received his baptism of blood and fire at distant Vanaheim just 1 year ago. A budding man come to seek his fortune in more civilized lands.
Your illusions fail to frighten me, O Crone. Whatever I might one day be, I am now but a poor wandering mercenary. What do you want with me?
Look into the mists of change once more, barbarian, and you will see.
Mitra, never before have I seen a gem of such magnificence. It's as big around as a fat man's head, and it glitters like a fallen star.
It is called the Jewel of the Ages, and with your help, Cimmerian, it is my intention to steal it.
Despite your mysterious manner, you're no better than I am. You're merely a cut purse in conjurer's clothing.
No, barbarian. It is the sorcerer Shara Khan who is the villain here. For centuries, the Jewel of the Ages belonged to my family, until the self-serving Shara Khan, who had been my father's loyal advisor, purloined the enchanted gem and cast my poor father, his king, into dark imprisonment. Conan, only you of all men have the strength of purpose, the strength of limb, to help me regain the ancient jewel and restore my father to his throne.
And what am I supposed to gain from all this? What have you to offer me, shadowy one, that I would throw myself so readily into? A great black wolf, as tall as a man.
No, Conan, far more than a wolf. The demon beast of Shara Khan has found me at last.
Then let it now find the point of my sword.
Conan.
Oh, this beast weighs as much as a mountain. There. That's better. Here, old woman. Give me your hand. Let me help you to your feet as well. Huh? You're no old crone. Chrysilla, you're a young woman.
You see now why I need your aid, Cimmerian? A woman alone, despite my poor mystic powers, would be no match for the master sorcerer Shara Khan, but with you at my side...
Again, woman, why should I involve myself in this? Granted that you're indeed a handsome-looking wench, but what else do I stand to gain?
The priceless jewel of the ages. It is needed only to restore my father to his throne, and once that is done, it is yours. But before we can accomplish anything, we must return to my father's castle.
And how are we to find that place?
I need only press this graven stone set into the cavern wall and...
A tunnel, eh? Woman, you're full of surprises.
These ancient hills are laced with tunnels, and this one, the most secret of them all, leads home. Come, barbarian, follow me.
The air is stale in here. I can fairly taste it.
Be patient, Cimmerian. You'll soon develop a taste for finer things, I assure you. Oh, we've reached our destination.
And about time. Slinking through dark tunnels thus makes me feel not unlike a worm.
Then step through this portal, Conan.
Conan and Chrysilla enter a chamber which becomes a veritable temple. A crude stairway leads up to an ancient altar, upon which kneels a giant warrior carved of ebon stone. In its hands, the statue holds an ornate chalice. And in the chalice, upon a silken cushion, there rests...
Jewel of the ages. Quickly, Conan, bring me the gem.
The jewel is even more beautiful than the image you conjured.
Well, back at last, are you? I've awaited your return anxiously, Chrysilla. And I see you brought along a friend. Turn this way, barbarian, and give proper greeting to your host.
Shara Khan?
You know me, barbarian. I'm flattered. And you, Chrysilla, do you know my companion?
Father! Curse you, Shara Khan! Why have you chained him?
I merely thought it appropriate, my dear, that your beloved, if doddering, parent be present to witness your most untimely demise.
If there is death to be dealt here, wizard, it is I who will do the dealing.
Ah, the overconfidence of youth. A shame, barbarian, you will not live to experience old age.
The lean wizard merely gestures, and the giant stone warrior rises to its feet.
The statue is alive. By Crom, it's alive.
A condition you'll not labor under much longer, my pitiful friend.
We'll see who's pitiful here, sorcerer.
Aye, barbarian. Indeed, we will.
Oh, Shere Khan, you can't do this terrible thing.
Can't I, Chrysilla? Obviously, I can do anything I want. And right now, I want your bold barbarian's death.
Back and forth across the high stone altar, the battle rages, Conan fighting savagely to survive, until he chances to notice the maniacal Shara Khan and suddenly realizes...
The stone warrior echoes the sorcerer's every move. As if it were a part of the wizard himself. If I can defeat one, perhaps I'll have defeated them both.
Do you see, Chrysilla? Your barbarian's well-worn sword is useless against my champion. My giant warrior is forcing the Cimmerian back to the very edge of the altar. One final lunge and...
Look, Shara Khan. Conan is diving between your creature's legs. The giant cannot stop its lunge in time. It's toppling over the altar's edge.
No! No!
The stone giant shatters into a thousand fragments. Its sound mingles with the piercing scream of Shara Khan, almost as if it had been he who fell. And in a way, it was.
Bye, Eric. Shara Khan has fallen as well, his body lying twisted, exactly like the shattered body of the statue. His sorcery was truly greater than... Huh? Chrysilla? What are you doing with the Jewel of the Ages? Put the gem down, woman. Put it down.
Here, Father, take the enchanted jewel. Drink of its life-giving forces. Be whole once more. Be whole.
Thank you, Chrysilla. You are truly a daughter a king can be proud of.
By the demons of Ishtar, what wizardry is this? Before my eyes, that shriveled old man grows younger, straighter. Stronger.
It is the power of the Jewel of the Ages, Conan. The power of life everlasting. For centuries, my family has used this mystic gem to defy death's dark forces, draining its power a bit at a time, as my father just has. Now the gem's power is drained dry at last, and without that energy to sustain it, it is not even a shining jewel anymore, but merely...
Dust. The jewel has turned to dust in your hands. But you promised it to me.
Forgive me, Conan, but there was no other way. It was all merely a ruse. I feared you would not help me without the proper reward.
And you might well have been right, woman. But it appears I will be paid for my troubles after all. This chalice you so casually threw aside will be ample payment indeed.
There is much a man can purchase with a chalice made of solid gold.
The desert. It covers countless thousands of square miles of the Earth's surface and drowns a man's tracks as surely as if it were the raging sea. And the man alone, set down in the midst of this barren, relentless waste, seems but a pitiful, helpless thing indeed. It is just past dawn when Conan sees the man. Already the blood-red sun beats down like some great beaming hammer upon the Cimmerian's brow, as his Zamboulan stallion gallops across the ever-shifting sands. For a moment, a thought crosses his mind. Mirage. But then...
By God, it is a man. Out here alone, in the middle of the desert. Hard to make him out. Whoa, boy, steady. Now it's no mirage, as we first thought, but a real man. He's gesturing to me. Oh, Greybeard. What are you doing out here alone?
My name is Sarka, and my beard, young man, is not gray, it's white.
My apologies, but my question remains. What are you doing out here alone in this desolate place?
I am here because someone has stolen my city.
What?
Aye. As I said, I am Sarka by name, a sorcerer by trade.
Sorcerer.
Oh, one of your most kind-hearted types, let me assure you. I live but to protect my city, which is called Khorasan. At least I did protect it until last night. It was stolen away from under me while I slept. I woke to find it gone. Gone.
No one can steal a whole city, old man.
Then what am I doing here out in the middle of nowhere?
I'll admit, I don't know, but I can't...
He stole it, I tell you, right from under my nose. And you must help me find it.
I tend to steer clear of wizards, but you seem harmless enough. If I help you find this stolen city of yours, what will I get out of it?
Peace of mind and a tranquil heart.
Not enough. I was thinking about money.
I deal in magic, not gold. I'm a sorcerer. Not an alchemist. But let's see. There must be something I can... Yes, that's it. If you help me find and rescue my stolen city, I will use my great powers to give you a throne. The throne of a whole city.
A throne, eh? Well, some time back, an ancient wizard prophesied that I would one day become a king. Perhaps you, who look even older than he was, are the one who will bring that to pass.
Never doubt it, barbarian. I may look old. I am old. But I am still a mighty sorcerer.
All right. I'll take a chance with you, old man.
Sarka. The name is Sarka. Have a little respect.
All right, Sarkov. Here, let me help you under the saddle, and we'll be off. Now, where is this city of yours, this Khorasan?
Well, it was north of here, near Shemakesh. But now I don't...
North of... You old fool. Shemakesh is south of here.
What? That can't be. How?
It's clear as the nose on your wrinkled face. Your city wasn't transported away last night. You were.
But that's impossible. Such things just aren't done. Not to sorcerers. Even he couldn't do such a thing. At least, I don't think he could. But then again...
Who is he?
Vaisorval, of course. He's another sorcerer, my bitter rival.
What else can you tell me about him?
Why, only that he's my son.
Your son?
But that was centuries ago. You see, for years, Zorval has wanted to begin a holy war against Shemakesh. But the queen of Khorasan took my advice and wouldn't let him lead her city into a war. But now, with me gone, The desert may turn red with blood.
And that's why he got rid of you.
Aye. And now our queen, Mehet is her name, doubtless believes I'm dead. So she'll probably fall under his sway. Right this moment, he's probably drafting all able-bodied young men to fight his holy war for him.
Do you think he knows I found you and plan to help you?
Oh, I'm quite sure he does.
Why?
Well, just look up at the sky.
At that moment, Conan suddenly sees the sky has grown black. Yet it is not filled with clouds, but with great, giant bats, their inhuman cries turning his blood to ice. Onward and downward they come, like some great dark blanket of fangs and claws. Conan feels the hairs rise on the nape of his neck, and as he draws his sword...
Ishtar and Mitra!
They are the shadow bats. They're a special creation of my son. He's always been very proud of them.
You're a sorcerer. How do we fight them?
I'm afraid I've never been able to. I guess you might try your sword.
Just then, the great bat-like monsters are upon them. With a snarl that is lost among the gibbering, flittering mass, the Cimmerian swings his great broadsword again and again, cutting a swath through them.
Shadow bats are not. They're solid enough to be cut and to die. Fight from. But so many of them. My sword. Let go of me.
It's no use, Barbarian. Now it's got us both. All we can do is relax and hope it takes us to Zorval.
The following moment, Conan finds himself lifted bodily as if he were a child's toy from his horse. As he and the aged Zarkov are borne skyward at a speed which sends the wind whistling by their ears.
He's veering off from the rest. Then he must be taking us to Khorashan.
I've still got my knife. But no sense using it now. We're too high up. If I slew the creature, we'd just fall to our deaths. Got to bide my time.
Look, there it is.
You mean...
Yes, Khorashan. My stolen city. I recognize the castle, see? In fact, that's where it seems to be taking us now. We're descending.
Lower, lower sweeps the circling gigantic bat. Finally, they are directly over the castle grounds.
We're low enough to survive now if this thing dropped us. Must strike now!
Stung by the barbarian's hard-thrust weapon, the startled monster drops both Conan and the wizard.
Are you all right, Zarkov?
Yes, but where are...
We fell through a skylight, but I guess your magic made us land unhurt. We're in some vast chamber.
Ah, then we are bruised, but unbowed.
But that is only a matter of time, Zarkov. For both of you.
Who the devil?
Zorval!
Now I see him. There in the shadows. Son or not, Zarkov, he's an evil-looking specimen. But now I see a throne beside him, and the woman sitting in it.
I am Mehet, Queen of Khorashan. It is good to see you again, Zarkov. Your dear son told me you were dead.
Not quite accurate, my queen.
My queen now, dear father. You should have been content to die where I left you instead of returning here. Your end will but be that much more terrible.
No one has driven me out of Khorashan in 300 years, and no one is going to stop now.
So be it. The decision to resist is yours, and I see you brought some broad-shouldered barbarian to try to help you enforce it. Guards, seize them both!
Got him, sire.
It's one thing to seize the Cimmerian dogs, and another to hold him.
He's certainly a strong one, Zorval. Perhaps instead of harming him, you should add him to your army for your holy war.
There must be no more, your majesty.
Silence! Keep your distance, father. I warn you, if you try to approach the throne...
I always told your mother she should have been more firm with you. A pity she died when you were only 90. Now, about this war. Sokov, I am all right, Barbarian.
Ishtar, that mystic burst would have slain a normal man.
We are neither of us normal men, my son. Now, why don't we...
No! You are the one person who could ever challenge my power. So you must die, father or no.
In that case, my son, I must do this.
Oh, a mighty blast.
And the next one will be stronger.
Ha! My own burst parried it. The battle is joined, then.
Yes, regrettably, the battle is joined.
Crom, they're getting nowhere. I wonder what they'll try next.
Then suddenly, before the startled eyes of the barbarian and the young queen, each man conjures up a glowing, mystic warrior, a shining double of himself, and the two of them clash in cosmic combat.
So white, I can hardly look at them.
And now, the two gleaming warriors strive, one against another, face to face, no swords, but only strength against strength.
They're near equal in skills. Sarkov is old. He's tiring. I can see his double getting weaker by the second. Soon, Sorval will overcome him, and...
Barbarian, come to me. I need your help.
I'm here, but what can my sword do against magic?
Take my hand, and I'll gain your strength. Hurry!
Puzzled, the brawny Cimmerian grasps the feeble human hand that reaches out toward him. In that selfsame instant, he suddenly feels as if he is drawn out of his own body, pulled mystically, powerfully, through that of the ancient wizard Sarkov, so that the next moment, the mystic warrior of Zorval is grappling with a figure like that of Conan the Barbarian, added to the mystic might of the wily Sarkov.
Oh, can't fight both of you?
And the next moment, the glowing Conan warrior forces the other to its knees with its sheer savagery. Then, with mighty arms, it crushes its foe into a pulsating mass and hurls it in a living ball of fiery energy toward the screaming Zorval. Ah! Then, when the light has faded...
Where is Zorval?
My son is no more.
Sorry.
No need to be. He had a long life, if not necessarily a good one.
Well, then, not to rush things unduly, but what about my reward?
Oh, yes. Your Majesty, I'm afraid that I promised this young man a throne if he saved your city, our city, from the clutches of Zorval. I know I had no authority to do so.
Say no more, dear Sarkov. Ruling a city in the desert is lonely work. I have been lonely here, and you, Barbarian, are a very handsome young man.
Then you and your people would accept me as your king?
King? Oh, no. Khorasan has forever been ruled by a queen, and ever shall be. But you will still get to sit on a throne, only it would be a little lower than my own. And you could wear a crown. A little one, of course.
Of course.
But there are things you could lord it over. The annual date merchants festival, for instance. Or the caravans of camels which pass through the city. I find them much too smelly. Oh, and occasionally there might be an archery contest.
Sarkov, is this what you meant by giving me a throne? Marrying me to this...
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Then I free you from your bargain. I'm afraid I must decline your generous offer, Your Majesty.
What? I'm afraid I don't quite...
Sorry, Highness, I have business up north, where I heard there are new wars stirring among the Hyborians. But for me... Just give me a sword on my hip and a horse between my knees.
And we're back. That was said, Jewel of the Ages and Shadow of the Stolen City. Let's start with Jewel of the Ages. Chris, what did you think of this one?
Oh, I thought this one was really cool. I mean, it's got a great setup. I mean, the narrator really paints the picture.
Yeah.
We'll get into this as this goes along, but this particular LP really does a great job of really putting you into the story, even more so than some of the other Power records that we've covered, and they're all great in their own way, but this one, and it's got such great there's some great dialogue in this one too. I mean, when Conan says, "Granted, indeed, you're a handsome looking wench," I'm thinking, I might try that line on Cindy and see how that goes.
You'll have to report back to us, see how that works out for you. The atmosphere here is good. That ghostly voice, the Conan, like, that's really well done. And whoever it is the voice of Conan, that guy is perfect. Absolutely,
yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's got just enough of a snarl in his voice to let you know he's still the hero, but he's not the true blue usual superhero that Power Records will give you. You know, there's just something slightly sinister about him, you know?
Yeah, it's perfectly. I don't really exactly recognize that voice from other records. Now, the voice of the other guy, Shara Khan, to me, that has got to be the Riddler from If Music Be the Food of Death. Did he sound like that to you? Because I was like, I think that's the Riddler.
I thought it was Emperor Palpatine, honestly. You know? This fully operational ebony statue, you know? But yeah, he does sound like the Riddler from the Batman single. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah,
these are the atmosphere of these. The music is really great. I mean, you talked about the narration; it is particularly good. I mean, these really do feel like what Conan stories read like. I've only read a couple of Conan books, maybe even one. I don't remember a whole lot from it, but yeah, they really nail the atmosphere with these. I mean, I think all the Power Records, the superheroes are all well produced to one degree or another, but to me these are exceptional. And maybe it's because they don't have to do a lot of trappings of the, they don't have other characters to worry about, you know what I mean? It's like you just put, I mean, you know, some you know, some crazy wizard and then like a crazy weird magic statue and maybe like a monster or like a wench, and that's your Conan story. You really don't need a whole, you know, you don't have to worry about Perry White or the Daily Planet or Gotham City or, you know, it's, I would imagine it's, these stories can be a bit formula, but I think that's sort of the fun of them, is that it's all the same things happening to Conan over and over again, but they're really so entertaining.
Right. I mean, they're of a type. I mean, it's like, I don't want to insult big Conan fans and say, if you've read one story, you've read them all. That's not really true, but there are certain things you expect in a Conan story. You expect, like you said, some kind of sorcerer. There's usually some half-dressed woman,
right.
especially if you're going by the Savage Tales of Savage Sword of Conan magazine. There's some MacGuffin that Conan's after, and there's some giant mythical beast type thing that he's got to fight. You know,
there is always MacGuffin.
Right, and all these stories pretty much have that in one form or another, at least part of it. So it's really well done. I think one reason why I think this one stands out so much, this whole LP, is because it's creating a world that never existed just through audio, you know? And so it's not like, you know, at the Daily Planet, you get the click clacks of the typewriter, and in Gotham City, you hear the cars driving by and the horns and the sirens and things. I mean, it's creating a world that if you haven't read a lot of Conan, you're not familiar with, and they do a great job of it.
Yeah, these are terrifically produced. I mean, you mentioned about the wench. That's the one thing that these stories generally don't have, is because in every Conan story, he meets, you know, the serving wench or the daughter of the king or some crazy person, and he, you know, beds her down within a couple of minutes or a couple of pages. But I mean, they can't do that in these stories. So that is the one difference of these Conan records, is that like he's pretty chaste throughout these four stories, because they just couldn't do that. But the rest of them are right on the money. Yeah, I mean, the MacGuffin is exactly it. He's always looking for like a bracelet or a medallion or something that's gonna, you know, that's riddled with jewels and gold, and it's going to do all these things, but he's got to fight like a minotaur to get it or something like that. It's always the same kind of story. But yeah, no, I agree. I mean, did you read Conan comics when you were a kid?
You know, I didn't read them a lot when I was younger, but my sister's first husband, he was kind of a collector. He was a comic collector, but he collected things like Conan and Swamp Thing and Gru the Wanderer and the Punisher, things that were kind of off the beaten path a little bit.
So not a superhero guy.
Right, and he had quite a bit of Conan and the Savage Sword of Conan in particular, the magazine. So, you know, I'd like, you know, flip through those and read them. And of course, they were a little spicier than your average comic.
right.
I felt like I was getting away with something. But, but these feel like they could come straight out of, you know, the Marvel Conan comic. And in particular, one thing, you know, we'll get into that as we go along. But in each of these stories, Conan doesn't get what he thinks he's going to get. He doesn't get the prize. It eludes him somewhat. So that kind of gives him that kind of Marvel feel to it, you know, that even when the hero wins, he loses to a point. So I like that too.
I never even thought about that, but yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. That makes him a little, you know, a little relatable, I guess, as relatable as a guy can be, who's this, you know, hulking mass of muscle that's, you know, out killing people left and right. And, you know, but yeah, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, there is a little bit of the Peter Parker syndrome. He doesn't get exactly what he wants, even though he's Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, I think it's funny in the second story, he says, I tend to steer clear of wizards. You sure don't do a very good job at it, Conan. Always running into some freaking wizard.
That's what he tells himself. I'm always steering clear. Like, no, I think we've read every other issue of Conan. You're constantly running into wizards. So, well, yeah, the second story is Shadow of the Stolen City. I thought the opening music reminded me a bit of Star Wars. Did you hear that? Did you pick that up? Yeah, I thought so. I was like, am I crazy? This sounds like the when they first get to like Mos Eisley or what, I forget what part of Star Wars, but it had a slight Star Wars feel to it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, all right. I love the line in the second one where he talks about the one day the prophecy said I would become a king. I love the whole tipping into the whole King Conan bit. I thought that was terrific. And the sound effects of when the winged creature comes in and you hear like the flap, flap, flap. I'm like, that's really, like, they probably just did it with like telephone books or something. You know, like super low tech, but it sounded terrific.
And they restrained themselves from using the man-bat sound effects, which really surprised me.
You know, that would have been a hell of a crossover. That would have been great. That's awesome.
Yeah. The cloud of bats made me think of that Dracula Untold movie from a few years back when he had the giant, cloud of bats. He turned into a big fist and all that stuff.
Yeah, they're both really, really well done stories. I mean, I think they're really terrific and they're very imaginative. And again, I don't know credits wise. I don't know who did any of these things, but you know, good on them because they did really, really nice work. And we're getting on side two. We're going to get to actually my favorite thing of all of them. So, is there anything else you want to say about these two stories?
I like the last one. I think Conan's last line in the second story was, just give me a sword at my hip and a horse between my knees. You know, that sums up the character pretty well. I like that.
simple man with simple taste. So, sure. So yeah, all right. Well, those are Jewel of the Agents, Shadow of the Stolen City. So now we're going to move on to side two. In the old days, you have to get up and walk across your room and flip the record over. So we're going to get on to the Thunder Dust, followed by the Crawler in the Mists.
In all times and all lands, waterfronts are ever the same. White-sailed ships with many flags lying at anchor, lapped by cold dark waves, while mangy, sharp-toothed wharf rats prowl the shadows, ever watchful for an unguarded rope along which they can crawl aboard a ship in search of berth and barley. But there are worse vermin abroad this night in the seaport of Cordova, capital of proud Zingara. Raucous noise and coarse laughter fill the waterfront tavern they call the Silver Stallion. For Cordova is a place where Zingarans, Argosians, Stygians, Kothians all mingle, drinking and singing songs and shouting out lies at the top of their voices. But this night, suddenly one lusty voice rings out louder than all the rest.
What does a man have to do to get a drink in this filth-infested place? Marry a barmaid?
Here's your ale, Outlander.
It's about time.
I've got more bravos in here tonight to wait on than just you, you know.
But none that's got more money on him, I'll wager. I just sold a golden chalice I came to town with and spent the money on these new clothes. What do you think of them, wench?
Oh, they're just lovely. Yellow silk breeches, pink brocaded shirt, and that blue sash around your waist. Ha ha! The name of Mitra! Who sold you all this gear?
Why, a merchant over on the Avenue of Gargoyles. He swore it was the latest fashion among the gentlemen of the city.
Ha ha! The latest fashion among fops and fools, he should have said. You're too much of a real man to wear just fancy garb.
You mean I wasted my money?
You might as well have thrown it off the wharves into the sea.
Well, then, by Crom...
What are you doing?
Getting rid of these trousers. What else? There. I'd rather walk around in just my loincloth than have a pretty wench like you think me a fop and laugh at me.
Well, you certainly don't look like a dandy now. Why don't you drink your drink and we can talk?
Skyros, have you been listening to what that big barbarian oaf's been saying?
Aye. Gather round, boys. Those clothes may not suit him, but there's still those on Rich Man's Hill that'd pay plenty for them.
And that's in addition to what we'll get from the captain.
Right. So you know what to do, lads.
Aye, we do.
Spread out and get close to him, and then we'll take him from behind. He'll never know what hit him.
So why don't you just forget about the merchant who sold you those rags and we'll go for a stroll?
I won't forget. Come morning, I'll seek him out and stuff a whole lot down his gnarled throat. Just let me get this accursed buttonless thing off my head. And... Ooh!
What are you doing?
He's been struck.
Now, while he's stunned, spring the trapdoor. They'll let the captain have it now if he cares to fish him out.
He'll fish him out, all right. Now gather up those silken garments, lads. We'll find some rich fool to buy them come the morrow.
What? Where am I?
Gotta get up. I've gotta... What the devil?
Chains. I'm in chains. My ankles, my wrists. I'm chained to this wooden bench on some kind of a ship. But where?
Ooh.
Stop talking, oarsman. We brought you aboard to row, not to yap.
Oarsman? Then I've been...
Abducted, aye. We get half our lads below through that trapdoor in the Silver Stallion. Though they usually aren't as brawny as you, of course. You'll row a fine oar.
But where are we bound, Deckmaster?
Why, to Argos, of course. But cheer up, dog. It's not so bad. This is an important ship. We're carrying a king's ransom. A real king's ransom. It seems that the king of Zangara was careless and got himself captured by the king of Argos. And now Zangara's got to pay a pretty price to get him back. And we're the ship that's taking the ransom to Argos. You're lucky to be an oarsman on such an important ship.
I'm no oarsman.
Keep your voice down, fool. Our captain's conferring forward with the king's own viceroy, and he won't want a slave's shouts bothering him.
You'd call me a slave? I'll...
And there's more where that came from. Now I've wasted time enough on you. Get below.
You'll regret that. Right now.
You tore the whole bench loose. No, keep away from me. Help! Help!
Come ahead, you Zangaran dogs. I'll take you all on.
Get him, lads. Get him, I say. Well done. That belaying pin took care of him. Ishtar, he's still not out. Hoist him up, lads. We'll let the captain decide what to do with him.
I tell you, Esteba, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
You really have no choice any longer, my dear Captain Tubal. You're already involved in this scheme up to your neck.
No, it's not too late. I could still take the ship to Argos, as I was supposed to. it's not too late to actually use what's stored below to ransom the king and become a hero instead of a traitor.
And remain a ship's captain all your life, while I go back to being a king's mere viceroy, when we can both live like kings ourselves once we've sold the Thunderdust to the Stygians? Not likely, my friend.
Thunderdust? How do you know it does what it's supposed to?
Ah, yes. I forget. You've not seen it perform, have you? Well, that's why I had yonder fire trough installed here on the deck. Now, look. Do you see what I have in my hand?
Some sort of black powder.
Thunderdust, Captain Tuval. Watch what happens when I toss merely the smallest portion of that powder into the fire. So.
Mitra!
Impressive, huh? No one knows what makes it work. A wanderer brought it back from the east, and the warlike Stygians will pay a good price for it.
Small wonder they could terrify an army with it. Why, they...
All right, you. Step lively there.
What's all this, Deckmaster?
This new prisoner, Captain. He's a surly one. Tried to break loose. He'll start a mutiny if we put him in with the other oarsmen, sir.
And throw him down in the ship's hold and be done with him.
Yes, sir. Come along, you. In there with you. There. I guess that settles him.
Better see where I am. Kegs. They must be filled with that so-called thunder dust that one dog tossed into the fire trough. I wasn't too close, but I could hear. Dark in here. In a minute, I'll be able to... What was that? Something over there in the corner. Something moving. It... Crom. An ape. A huge white ape. I've heard of them. Man-killers. Must be down here to guard these kegs from Argosian spies. They're circling. Nothing to fight it with. Nothing but this length of chain. Gotta wait for it to charge. If I can get this chain around its neck... Got him! Behind him! The chain around his neck! Just a moment longer, a little tighter. Gotta hold out. Cut to... Kill it. But it'll take a minute to catch its breath. Maybe...
Oh, out there! I've slain your ape! And I'm going to scatter your precious thunder dust all over it till it won't be good for anything.
There. That ought to bring someone on the run. Now, if I can just pull the ape over to the door so that when they open it, they'll get a surprise. The beast's coming, too. They'd better hurry. Somebody unlocking the door. And just in time, too. Now, you dogs, now!
I don't know how you... It's alive! Alive! Get away! Get...
That's what I hope. The ape's heading up on deck. Now to search my deckmaster friend here. I thought he'd have a set of keys. First, I'll take care of these chains. Then... There. My hairy playmate has found some new friends. I think I'll go topside. But first, yes, I better take along a keg of the so-called thunder dust. Might just come in.
Esteba, in the name of heaven, that ape was your idea. Stop him. Now he's heading this way.
Over here, behind the fire trough. He's frightened by fire. He won't come in. You see, my dear Captain, we're safe as long as we keep the fire between us and the ape.
Safe?
Are you Zingaran?
You!
Aye, the man you tossed down in the hold with that killer ape. And look what I've got here.
A keg of thunder dust. In the name of Mitra, put it down, you fool. You don't know what it can do.
Oh, but I do, you cringing jackal. It will explode if it strikes the fire trough. And that's just what it's going to do now.
Now! Don't throw it! Oh!
That powder was even more powerful than I thought. Tore a hole in the deck and blew men and ape away like leaves. Well, no great loss. But the whole ship's caught fire now. Won't stay afloat for long. The oarsmen I freed have reached the longboats, but I can't get to them through the flames. The fire's getting closer, so... Goodbye, old ship. Let the King of Zingara break out of his prison himself like I did. No sign of the shore. Can't even tell which way it is. Well, might as well swim one way and see what happens. If I'm right, I'll reach the shore by morning. If I'm not, Crom take me, though. If I don't feel lucky tonight.
At first, the motion is not unlike the monotonous rolling of waves lapping softly against the shore. Then the constant movement becomes a ragged bumping, and a sullen-eyed barbarian struggles back to consciousness to find himself not on some great slave ship prowling the Argosian shore, but rather on a ship of the desert. A foul-smelling camel.
Huh? Where am I? What's happening here?
Welcome back to the land of the living, my friend. You have slept for quite some time.
Who are you, little man? What am I doing astride this ugly beast?
I am called Rasto, barbarian. I am a trader bound for the marketplace at Nasantia. My fellows and I found you lying unconscious along the shore, so we thought we'd take you with us, rather than leave you as food for the vultures.
So you bound me with this length of chain, but to protect me from those birds, I take it.
As I told you, my friend, I am a trader, and you are a piece of valuable merchandise which will bring a most tidy sum on the Byzantine slave block.
And what makes you think I'm ever going to reach that slave block, you shriveled little worm?
Well, there's certainly no way you can escape me, barbarian. The other end of the chain that binds you is shackled to my wrist. Accept it, my friend. You are my prisoner.
But since this chain indeed has two ends, little worm, who is to say which of us is really the prisoner here?
By Ishtar, the barbarian yanked little Rasto out of his saddle as if he were no more than a child.
Do we allow the dog to get away with that, my brethren?
If you had half the brains you were born with, fools, you would turn tail and run. But since I'm certain you do not, let us get on with the battle and be done with it.
Alone and unarmed, you challenge us thus, barbarian?
Come forward and see.
Then stand your ground, dog, and die.
Howling like wild desert wolves, the traders charge forth, their scimitars glinting in the sunlight. And the fire-eyed Cimmerian meets their attack gladly, his teeth bared and snarling.
Put me down, barbarian! Please, put me...
Watch out! The crazy barbarian is using Rasto as a flail to...
He's whirling the little one around on the end of the chain like a...
Look out! Our camels! Our camels! Enough, barbarian. Oh, we yield.
You have scattered our camels, beaten us senseless.
Frankly, you're more trouble than you're worth.
Be gone, barbarian, and good riddance to you.
Free me from this cursed shackle, little worm, and I will gladly be on my way.
Certainly, barbarian. I have the key right here in my robes. Just let me... Paella, no.
What is it, little worm?
The key. In the heat of battle, I seem to have lost it somewhere in the sand.
Bell's bones. It figures. Well, little worm, if I want to leave here, it seems I'll have to remove your scrawny wrist to remove your shackle.
Remove my wrist?
Or take you with me until I can find someone to free us from these cursed chains.
My wrist?
Oh, don't worry, little worm. I'll leave your precious wrist. What good, after all, is a one-handed trader? Such as you needs both hands free to pick your customer's purse.
Now, come. Climb up in the saddle behind me and let us be gone.
Climb in the saddle behind you?
Would you rather I dragged you along behind me? You can move swiftly for one so small and twisted, little worm.
Given such a choice, wouldn't you, barbarian? Wouldn't you?
Get on, you ugly beast. Get on.
We have been traveling for many hours now, barbarian. Are you certain you know where we are going?
You were bound for the marketplace at Mesantia. It seems as good a destination as any.
Then why are we traveling in this direction, barbarian? Mesantia lies to the south.
So do your companions, little worm. We will strike our own course for Mesantia, one with less chance of... Eyes of Ishtar. On that rise before us.
A city? But there is no city on the desert sands. Unless...
For a change, fortune smiles on us, little worm. It's growing dark. Yonder will make a fine place to pass the night and to finally rid myself of this shackle and you.
Paparian, wait. I pray you pass that city by. Let us find other lodgings for the night.
What are you jabbering about, little worm? A city awaits to welcome us, and you'd rather have us sleep under some desert rock?
Please, Paparian. I have heard legends of this city in the sands. Legends of a hideous creature that prowls its streets by night, carrying human victims off to its hidden lair somewhere in the ruins at the city's edge. In the name of sanity, Black Mane, let us pass this dreadful place by.
I'm weary, little worm. And that city offers the promise of a soft bed and more.
But...
No buts, little worm. That city is where we're going. The way I'm feeling right now, any monster that dares attack me does so at its own peril. Now, move on, you foul-smelling brute. Stop complaining. Good evening, citizen. Can you tell me where to find a blacksmith who could help
me? Go away, stranger. Leave Kamala while you still have the chance.
You are right, little worm. The people here are not exactly what you would call hospitable.
Please, barbarian, let us follow the man's advice.
Silence, worm. There must be someone here willing to talk to us.
You were saying, barbarian? Look around you. The people slam shut their doors and windows as we approach. We're obviously not wanted here, my friend.
Perhaps not, little worm, but we are still staying, even if we must spend the night right here in the city square.
Here, barbarian?
Aye, little worm. These cobblestones will make as soft a pillow for our heads as any desert rock.
Good night, barbarian.
Good night, little worm. Try not to rattle the chains, will you? I sleep lightly. Some great misshapen slug has grabbed hold of the little worm, dragging me along by the chain on my wrist. Got to pull free before... Aye, Erlik. The creature snapped the chain as if it were only twine. Got to free the little worm while there's still... My head, reeling. Have to regain my footing. Then... Rom. The slug thing has carried little Rasto off into the mists. I'm rid of them both then. All I need to do is mount up and ride off. There's nothing more to keep me here. Except, curse it all, that I've grown unusually fond of that twisted little man. It appears there's no other course open to me but to follow that milky white crawler into the mists and bring little Rasto back. Little Rasto spoke true. The crawler has indeed carried him to these ruins at the city's edge. Now all I have to do is find them before...
slithering into the crumbling of that temple. It's them. But I can still reach them before they're lost to the darkness of... Another slug beast. Coal black. Where the first one was white. It bars my path. Slithers forward as if to attack. Well, if it's battle it seeks, then battle it has found. Creature's flesh is harder than Arcanian steel. My blade cannot pierce its... Curse those writhing tentacles. If one of them gets a grip on me, it could crush my chest to a pulp. But if my sword cannot slay the beast, then what... That tall stone pillar, it's already cracked and rutted with age. And the blow that creature's tentacle just dealt it has not improved its condition. If I can manage to weaken its support, then lure the monster into place. Yes, it just might work. By Erlik, I wish I had a sturdy axe to use upon this pillar. But it seems my sword serves just as well. Fragments of the stone fall away, even as the creature draws near. To put my back into it, send this pillar toppling over on that cursed monster! Eyes of Ishtar. What sorcery is this? Wires and coils jut from the slain creature's broken back. Wires that leap and congeal as if lightning lived within them. There is more madness afoot here than readily meets the eye. I'm not so sure I want to know from whence it came, but... The white-fleshed creature's trail is easily followed. A ribbon of slime that leads deep into this crumbling temple. But where... Krom, light up ahead. Apparently my questions have answers. There, before that shimmering veil of light, the ivory-skinned slug thing. And Rasto. Patience, little worm. A moment longer, and my sword will set you free.
Barbarian, wait. You don't know what you're doing. That creature must not be slain.
You speak nonsense, little worm. That monster has bewitched you. But still, I'll...
Stop where you are, Conan of Cimmeria, for the sake of us all.
That voice, thundering inside my head. But what? Who?
I am Minaj, he whom you called monster. I am the last of my race. For centuries I have dwelt here, alone. But for the mechanical companion I created for myself, the automaton you so callously destroyed outside in the mists, for no good reason.
My life is all the reason that I need, creature.
The companion meant only to detain you, Cimmerian, not injure you. You simply did not understand its motivations. It seems your race never understands. I never meant to harm the people of Kamala. I've sought only to help. I have taken the frail, the crippled, the aged, the infirm of Kamala, and granted them the gift of peace and new life. In the land beyond this shimmering veil. Such is the gift I will now grant the one called Rasto.
Now do you see, barbarian? Now do you understand?
Come, little one. It is time for us to go. There is nothing more to keep us here.
No, come back. You can't... I cannot pass through this shimmering veil. But Rasto and the monster had no trouble in... Rasto? My eyes must deceive me. Beyond the veil, a great golden realm. Beautiful, handsome people laughing, frolicking. And Rasto. Rasto no longer frail and twisted, but standing straight and tall and full of life. I must see more. I must. No. The veil begins to cloud, obscuring my view. Let me through, curse you. Let me through.
No, Cimmerian. Though it sorely grieves me, I cannot let you pass. There is no place for you beyond the veil. So long as there is such fury in your heart, such violence in your soul. Forgive me, Conan, but there is no place for a sword-wielding serpent in paradise.
It's gone. Rastel, the monster, the veil, all of it. Gone.
Head bowed, jaw clenched, Conan of Cimmeria turns away from the ruins, striding solemnly back to his mount, waiting in the village square. Without another word, the barbarian slides into the saddle and rides away, leaving the city in the desert wastes and the gates of paradise far from him.
Alrighty, what did you think of the Thunder Dust?
Well, I thought it was really cool that he had a nice bit of continuity with the chalice from the first story, that he sold it to dress like a fop, basically.
Yeah.
I thought it was so. I mean, you were kind of right. He's a little more chaste, and I'm not really sure. Maybe in the comics, the comic Conan wouldn't do something to this woman that was calling him these names and things, but I kind of get the idea that Arnold in the Conan movie would have done something, you know, untowards to this woman after she talked to him that way.
You're probably right. Yeah. The actress who plays the waitress that's not even the right term, the serving wench or whatever you want to call her, I thought she was terrific. And again, that's another voice that I don't recognize. Like, she doesn't sound like Lois Lane to me or any of the other voice actors we've heard. And I couldn't help but think, what a shame that they couldn't work in Red Sonja, because she would have been a great Red Sonja. To me, she would have sounded perfect for Red Sonja.
Yeah, I'm not even sure Power Records could handle the Frank Thorne Red Sonja on the cover of the album.
Can you imagine that? Oh my God, my parents never would have bought me that record. They would have been like, what the hell? I'm surprised I got Red Sonja comics into the house even. But yeah, no, the Thunder Dust is a lot of fun. I think it's probably my least favorite of the four, but I like all four of them a lot. So that's not a really much of a criticism. I think they're all terrific.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I know these stories have, you know, giant onyx statues and sorcerers and we'll get to giant, you know, sentient worms. But the fact that gunpowder was invented so much earlier in this story is the hang-up I have. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? You know? That's the bridge too far for me, really.
Yeah.
So
you could take the giant holographic creatures fighting each other in Shadow of the Stolen City and the giant winged creatures. But that's not accurate. This Conan story is not historically accurate.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of funny. But that crossed my mind, and as soon as it did, I'm like, you idiot.
We all have our things.
Yep. I think it's funny that, of course, it's Power Records. You and me have discussed this many times. They never talk down to the audience. Mm-hmm. Conan blows up everybody on the ship, basically. All of his enemies, the ape, you know, c'est la vie, you know, I blew them all up. It's no punches are pulled. We've already had several people die in these stories. They talk about their twisted bodies lying there. And, you know, it's not a clown committing suicide out in the swamp, but.
No, it isn't.
We'll never top that one, face it.
No. Yeah, there's a lot of carnage in these stories. I wondered what, again, you know, these Marvel ones are a little on the grittier side than the DC ones for whatever reason. But yeah, I mean, again, if you're going to do Conan stories, he's got to end up killing people. I mean, he's not going to leave everybody. Oh, I'll leave you alone. No, he wanders around with his giant sword. Of course, he's going to end up killing. You know, he has no compunctions about killing people in any Conan adventure I've ever seen.
Well, that's what I like about it. You know, it's kind of weird because the Power Records are in direct opposition to the Saturday morning cartoons of the time.
Mm.
When the Super Friends couldn't even throw a punch.
Yeah.
You know, like, they wouldn't even allow them to punch anybody. And the first season of Super Friends, there were no real villains. It was all just misunderstood scientists
computer that goes nuts or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's so, you know, Power Records during the same period also producing material for kids. It's like, oh, let's have Conan kill a few people, you know. But when they took that property in, they realized, okay, Conan is a barbarian. So he has to do barbarian things. They didn't try to water it down and give you Conan light. you know. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, they're really terrific. And then the last one, Crawler in the Mists. I think that this is probably the finest single audio adventure Power Records ever produced. I think the Crawler in the Mists is like, I mean, you and I love the Power Records. There is some level of nostalgia, of course. And so we're forgiving certain things because we had them as kids. And, you know, like the Batman, some of the weird, the kind of the wonky behavior of some of the characters. And we forgive it because we love them and, you know, it's fine, or Superman, whatever. But I honestly think this Crawler in the Mists, like, is a perfect Conan adventure. And there's no allowance you have to make for it being, you know, something from your childhood. I really think Crawler in the Mists, the music is perfect. I think it sets a really unsettling, creepy mood. The creature at the end that he fights is right out of like an H.P. Lovecraft type of story. And to me, it sets that mood. And I mean, I think they must have known this was really good because of the four, this is the one that they repurposed into a book and record set and they turned it into, you know, a comic book. I think they knew this was the best one of the four. And this one, I think, is genuinely perfect. I absolutely love it.
And didn't they adapt this into an actual Conan comic later?
They did, in a reversal of how you normally would do it, where it was Power Records adapting comic books. Later on, Marvel just basically took this Power Record and turned it into an issue of Conan, and it's Conan issue number, 116, which was published in 1980. I remember when I did the research, and I was like, wait a minute. The comic book is in 1980. The Power Record was like in 77. And then somebody left a comment on my Power Record site that in some interview that they read with Roy Thomas, where he mentioned that that's what they did, that they, I guess, were short a month. And so they just took the Power Record and repurposed it and made it into a comic book. So, you know, you can't have a better example of what a perfect story this is for Conan, that they literally made it into a Conan comic book.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely perfect. I think it is. Genuinely, I don't remember hearing. I can't remember what my reaction was when I was a kid, but I bet it freaked me out a little because it really, I mean, you know, it's theater of the mind and you have to fill in a lot of details. To me, it's very, just the idea of Conan going way, I mean, even in the wastes of Cimmeria, he is way out somewhere. Like, he's way far away from civilization where this hideous creature exists. And I love the little guy, he keeps calling that little guy little worm. I love that whole, everything about it. I think it's so good.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the religious overtones of the story. I mean, the fact that, you know, Conan is denied entrance into heaven. I mean, that's some heavy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, slug Jesus. I mean, wow, you know.
Yeah.
I had listened to this before, but you know, I had kind of, some of the details had slipped my mind, and I'd listened to it on the Power Records Blogspot page. And then when I was listening to it for this, when I got to the end, I was literally sitting there with my jaw kind of dropped open. I'm like, oh, I forgot about this angle of it. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, and it says a lot about Conan, the character that this traitor that was willing to, you know, trade Conan into slavery, he's allowed to go into paradise with the worm creature, but Conan is not. So that says a lot about Conan.
I mean, you can't. It's like, you know, when you live in Cimmeria, you have, what are you supposed to do? You know what,
right?
I mean, like, you know, you can't go by our standard set of morality when you're living in Cimmeria, where you will be killed in a moment's notice or sacrificed to some pagan god, or, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you gotta do what you gotta do to survive. So, I mean, and you know, when Conan can be merciful, he is, but for the most time, he doesn't suffer fools gladly, you know, and he's gotta take these guys out. So yeah, I'm just in love with this record. I just think it's so terrific. And the book and record set is great. It's the artist by John Buscema. I think there's got to be some Neil Adams in there in terms of the inking stuff, but it looks great. I mean, Conan just looks exactly what you would think he looks like, and the big slug creature looks sufficiently icky and weird and everything else. And I love the idea of you know, the shot of heaven where it's everybody in these flowing robes and a glowing city and everybody's having a good time. It's just, yeah, oh, just terrific, just absolutely terrific.
Yeah, it's I agree. I think overall, and even though I'm a much bigger fan of Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man and the like, I gotta say that overall, this is probably the best power record that at least that we've covered so far. I mean, overall, this is the quality and the story quality, the recording, the acting, everything just adds up to it's a nearly flawless package, and it really transports you into that world of Conan. And you know, there was no Conan movie before this. This is several years before the movie. So and you know, there weren't a lot of sword and sorcery movies before this time. This was, you know, that was the big thing in the 80s. So there wasn't, you know, the films hadn't caught up to the craze and in the pulp novels and the magazines. And so this is a kind of a unique thing for the time. And they really do a fantastic job.
Yeah. It's the Crawler in the Mist book and record set is listed as the producer is Arthur Korb, whose name we've seen on a bunch of these power records. But then the LP says it was produced by Cornell Tanassi. I'm not familiar with that name. I've never seen that name before. Arthur Korb we've seen. So I don't know who deserves the credit, but whoever, whether it was Mr. Korb or Mr. Tanassi, well done, guys. Well done, because this is really terrific. And you mentioned the movie. That was something else that I always thought that this LP and then the book and record was all that they ever did of Conan. Until some industrious fan of the blog wrote me and said, no, they did an adaptation of the movie in record form. I never knew that. I never knew that existed. And he sent me pictures of the sleeve. And the sleeve is just that great Boris Vallejo painting from the movie. And so they did it in 1980, which I was like, that always gives me hope that there's more power records out there that I haven't heard about. Because I literally never heard of this. I was like, wait a minute, there's a whole other Conan record I didn't know about?
There's somewhere there's a power record of Superman the movie.
there has to be, right? Like, why would there not be? You know,
nobody wants to pay Mario Puzo $4 million. Maybe, I guess.
Maybe so. Yeah, it always gives me, every time somebody sends me something, and I'm so grateful when they do, that they send me something I've never heard of. That just keeps giving me hope that there's more out there. We just haven't found it yet. But yeah, they did another record. I mean, Conan was a big deal. If you look at all the Marvel ads in the 70s for like merchandise, Conan was on the merchandise almost as much as like Spider-Man, Hulk, and Captain America.
You know, they made Amigo of him.
Yeah, I mean, it was Amigo doll. Do you remember those superhero medallions?
Yes.
Do you remember that? I mean, it was like Spider-Man, Captain America, Hulk, and Conan. Like, he was like one of, you know, he was there more than you saw Thor. So he was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, he was like you're right. If they had the big three at Marvel at the time were Spidey, Cap, and Hulk, especially after the TV show took off. But Conan was the fourth. It wasn't Iron Man. It wasn't Thor. It wasn't anybody else. It was Conan. And sometimes they throw Red Sonja in there, too.
Yeah. I remember I read an interview with Larry Hama, who, of course, worked on the Conan books for a long time, was editor of A Savage Sword of Conan. And he said that there was a point in the 80s, I think, where Savage Sword of Conan was Marvel's best-selling publication.
Wow.
It was their bet because it got into the hands of people that didn't read normal comics, kind of like you were talking about. Your ex-brother-in-law that, you know, he wasn't reading Spider-Man, he was reading Punisher, reading Conan. Like, apparently Savage Sword was huge in prisons.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you know, there was a huge prison population that was reading Savage Sword. It was like, so, yeah, Conan was a really big deal. And, you know, long after Marvel gave up the ghost on their black and white line of magazines, they kept publishing Savage Sword. I mean, Savage Sword went into, I think, the 90s.
Yes.
When it was literally the only black and white magazine they were doing. So, yeah, Conan was a really big deal.
Yeah, he was huge. And it's kind of surprising that Marvel let him get away eventually. And really strange how the license splintered to where Red Sonja is now owned by somebody else. It's really weird.
Yeah,
I don't.
She's on Dynamite. Yeah, that's a really, that's a very strange kind of thing also. But it's a shame. I mean, I've read some of the Dark Horse comics and I've liked them, but I really, you know, I didn't read Conan regularly, but it was a thing that I would check in on every so often. It was a comic, it was a a frequent Mountain comic purchase, because it was like, oh, I have all my main comics. What else stuff? I need more stuff to read. Oh, let me check in on Conan again. And it was just like, oh, I know what I'm going to get. It's a girl in a, you know, the metal bra cup thing, metal bikini top, and she's going to get rescued by Conan. And that's, you know, it's that's what you want. It's what you want out of your 60 cents for what you're spending for it. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great stuff. So, well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Power Records podcast. We promise we will be back sooner than we were last time. In fact, do we want to spill the beans about what we're going to do next time?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, we are going to do Wonder Woman just in time for the big movie in June. So we're going to do a Wonder Woman-specific episode of Power Records podcast. But for now, that's it. This was Conan the Barbarian. Great record. We had so much fun talking about it, so much fun presenting it. This is a really great record. So, Chris, where can people find you on the internets?
Well, don't have to look very far. I'm here on the Fire and Water Podcast Network, on the Supermates podcast with my wife, Cindy. And since the last Power Records launched, you've launched like 50 new podcasts, but I've actually launched, Ryan does all the heavy lifting, but Ryan Daly and I have launched the Batman Nightcast podcast, which covers the Batman comics in the post-crisis era. And right now we're getting into some really good comics. We're into the Mike W. Barr, Alan Davis run on Detective, and very soon getting into Batman Year One in the Batman title.
Yeah, that is good stuff. That's a great idea to do a show with Ryan and just let him do all the work.
Yeah.
I got to do that. I don't know why I do my movie show. I should just have him host it with me and just let him do it. It'd be so much easier. Yeah, it's a good idea, man. Very smart. Time budgeting on your part. So, yeah, you can find – we actually don't have a Twitter feed for this show, rarity. I don't have a Twitter feed for this show. So this show's Twitter feed is basically the main Fire and Water Network feed, which is at FW Podcast. So leave us a comment. We didn't do feedback this time. I don't think we did it last time. We will do it at some point, I promise. But we said we won't be – it won't be another 8 months till we get to another one. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And until the next episode, drop the needle and turn the page.
Come, Robin. Into the Batmobile and home.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women. That is